Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's funeral today ends the saga of a remarkable woman. We'll get a personal glimpse of her from people who were with her during a Missouri visit in 1996. But first, giving young women in St. Louis a chance to develop self-esteem, confidence, and problem-solving skills is the mission of Girls on the Run, an international network dedicated to just those objectives and more. How Girls on the Run does it is just a little bit different. Girls on the Run St. Louis is currently observing its 10th anniversary, and in those 10 years, it has helped thousands of girls in grades 3 through 8 reach those objectives. With us to talk about it are Molly Barker, the founder of Girls on the Run. She joins us by phone from Charlotte, North Carolina. Courtney Berg is executive director of Girls on the Run St. Louis. Amy Eiler is assistant professor at the Washington University Brown School of Social Work. We thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Molly, I'd like to begin with you. Give us some sense of the beginning of this organization, when and why it started.
Sure. I started Girls on the Run in 1996, so we are coming up on our 17th year. And I started it with 13 girls in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the intention behind the program remains the same, and you stated it so well in your opener, that we're really just trying to give girls the tools to manage a lot of those messages that they that surround them around that time of middle school and onward. So when I started it, I had very little clue how big it would grow to become, but I have to say that I'm incredibly delighted by that. So this year we'll serve around 120,000 or more girls across the nation.
Wow, that's a tremendous number. But the name of the organization gives us a clue as to at least what one of those tools is that you're using.
Yeah, it's running. And, you know, I will say that running for myself served very much as a sanctuary or safe space for me and growing up and evolving and becoming even the woman I am today. I still run and find that it's during those hours and before sunrise when my feet hit the pavement where I can really kind of listen inward. Running can mean so much to people. It can be a chance for fellowship, sharing time with friends, or quiet time. I know as a mother, when my kids were young, it was just time to have to myself. So we introduce girls to all the different facets of running while also incorporating a youth development curriculum that really, really brings home a lot of the tools they need to manage adolescence and adulthood.
You know, it's so important to hear you say that today in particular, given what happened tragically in Boston earlier this week, obviously during the marathon. Running is such a wonderful sport and can do so much good, and yet we're faced with this tragedy.
Yeah, I will say that just keeping an eye on the internet and, you know, I've shared with Courtney, this impacted me greatly because I have such good friends in the running community. The running community has really rallied around Girls on the Run these years and has made it what it is. I guess that something really grand will manifest out of this, but, you know, currently we're still all in a mourning and a very sad state until we get further information on it.
Now, does it create any kind of a special challenge for your organization having this happen?
You know, I think it will create a conversation. I'm not sure about a challenge. You know, we are no more safe or safer than we were a week ago, really. You know, it's unfortunate that these public venues can provide a space for people that would wish to do harm on us. I do know that, you know, at Girls on the Run International, we are exploring and just continuing to explore everything we need to do to ensure that our girls are safe at any running event. So I think, if anything, it's just provoking a conversation that we all need to have on a continuing basis.
Well, let's let that conversation continue elsewhere, actually. I hate to bring an event into this conversation because we want to talk about the positive things that Girls on the Run is doing. Courtney Berg, let me turn to you with regard to how this all got started in St. Louis.
Well, Girls on the Run St. Louis started in 2002. A local mom, Jill Indovino, had read about Molly in Runner's World and thought, this is phenomenal. This is exactly what St. Louis needs, and had truly that courageous vision to bring Girls on the Run to St. Louis. And so we started with 20 girls meeting at a park bench, and that has just grown tremendously. We've grown very organically through word of mouth, schools coming to us and wanting to bring that program to their girls, to their community. So this season is our largest in our 10-year history. We have nearly 3,600 girls at 160 sites across 19 counties in Missouri and Illinois. So it's a great success for us, not just in those numbers, but in knowing that we have this generation of girls in our community who feel very empowered, who feel very capable and confident, and they're going to go on and do just tremendous things for us in St. Louis and beyond.
Are these all young girls that you're talking about, or are we talking about a particular demographic group of some sort?
That's a great question. So our curriculum, we have two. The Girls on the Run curriculum focuses on girls in third through fifth grades, girls on track in sixth through eighth primarily. So we do see that specific age group is where we focus. And that's because we know that that's just a wonderful opportunity developmentally to really address some of those core areas of, you know, learning about yourself and building those confidence and resiliency skills. But I would say that what we see is this wonderful sort of systems effect where, you know, you have that drop in the pond and it ripples out. So you impact that girl, but she is taking those messages home to her family and impacting her family and changing her family that is going to impact the community. You know, we hear these amazing stories coming from schools where the entire school community will suddenly say, gosh, you know, we need to kind of make some changes in our community and in how we're taking care of ourselves physically and emotionally. So while we do see a demographic of the girls that we're focusing upon, it is so diverse and far-reaching.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I was wondering if there's a socioeconomic component to this, if it's, you know, basically focused on disadvantaged kids.
You know, it's open to everyone. You know, we feel really, really strongly that every girl can and should benefit from Girls on the Run. So we have girls that participate in a range of schools. We have a scholarship program that is available to anyone. And so what we see is that no girl has ever not participated in our program because of ability to pay. And that's something we're really proud of. And so I think that's one of the strengths of Girls on the Run, is that it connects with every girl. It is available to every girl. And we want to make sure that that's possible going even beyond our 10 years.
Amy Eiler, what's the association between Girls on the Run and the Brown School over at WashU?
Well, we provide them with lots of good students who are in our Masters of Public Health or Masters of Social Work program with practicum and intern work. So it's a really nice research to practice opportunity for the students. And we have several faculty that are involved in helping with research and coming up with statistics that add to the anecdotal evidence of what a great program it is.
Yeah. What sort of research in particular are we talking about?
Last year, we did a survey of parent satisfaction and their perception of their daughter's changes or positive health behaviors as a result of the program. This year, we're looking at pre-post surveys of girls who are in the program to see what type of changes they have, not only in their self-esteem and self-confidence, community service, and physical activity.
Well, give us some sense of what you found over time.
All positive so far. We took a sample of schools, and we had the girls fill out a survey at the beginning of the program and then at the end 12 weeks later and looked at different components of the items that I mentioned. And statistically, it's showing really positive things. We need to really look over time and follow the girls through their middle school and high school years to really, really determine the effect. And hopefully that study's on the horizon.
And Molly, all of what you've heard so far pretty much matches, I'm sure, with the original mission and what you've been talking about for these 17 years or so.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that when I started Girls on the Run, I didn't realize the gem that being a curriculum-based program brought. Like, our focus really, the backbone of the program really is this curriculum. So when I started Girls on the Run, the internet wasn't much of an issue. There was no Facebook, there was no social media. And what's great about it being the core is that we can continue to evolve the curriculum to stay relevant for girls. So, you know, we're currently creating new curricula, and that's going to be an ever-changing product, you know, so that we can stay in touch with what's going on and hopefully always remain relevant for these girls. And that's where the research is very helpful.
Can you be a little more specific with regard to the curriculum? And what are we talking about, essentially?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, the original curriculum I wrote in 1996, so a young girl in Charlotte, North Carolina would have the same curriculum that a girl in Cincinnati would be using. So we have these fabulous volunteer coaches. I got a chance to talk to a bunch of them last night in St. Louis that facilitate the curriculum over the 10 to 12 week period. And they are all trained at the very beginning of the season and are very inspired and passionate people that bring the program to life at the various schools around each city. And this curriculum is broken into three components. The first third is all about helping the girls increase their levels of self-awareness. So it's really exploring some of those thoughts in their own head and how those show up in their life. And the second third is all about team building and, you know, what are some ways that I can be sure to surround myself with people that will, you know, build me up and enhance who I am rather than get involved with things that may bring me down. And then the last third is where the girls design and implement their own community impact project. So it's really about taking all of this strength that they now have unleashed in themselves and making some positive change, becoming a change maker in their own communities. And over the course of that whole 12-week or 10-week period, they're training for a 5K. So the games are all very intimately woven with this curriculum. And at the very end, they just have a great celebratory time covering the 3.1 miles together.
Well, Courtney, that I was going to ask you with regard to the running and what specifically running does to engender these skills that we've been talking about and trying to foster.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I
think Molly really said it so well in that for us, the running is something that just happens at practice. It's not at all a track practice. It's nothing that we are quote unquote training the girls for inherently. It's truly helping them understand that running is just another tool for them to learn how to treat themselves so well, how to respect their bodies, how to respect their minds. And so that 5K goal also then serves as this awesome opportunity for those girls to set a long-term goal, achieve it, and then that builds that resiliency so that when they do enter kind of that tough period of middle school, high school, that resiliency and that sense of self-efficacy is there. And so we know that that can have positive outcomes. So the running is something, you know, if you talk to any 9-year-old or I guess any adult, it can be scary to say, you're going to do a 5K in 10 weeks. That can be a little intimidating, but I'm so proud to say that every single girl crosses the finish line.
Wonderful. Molly, you started to say something a moment ago. Did you have a thought you wanted to make?
Oh, well, you know, just one other thing that's really great about running. I heard a speaker recently say that, you know, when she looks back, she crosses that finish line, she can say, you know, I did that. That is something I did. Now, of course, we all need encouragement and we work together, but there is this ownership of our actions that I think the girls get that is woven into that training. You know, this is my body, and, you know, I can make it strong, I can celebrate it, I can honor it. And I think that in this day and age, that's something a message girls really need.
That's Molly Barker. She joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina. She is the founder of Girls on the Run, and that's what we're talking about today. With me in studio is Courtney Berg, Executive Director of Girls on the Run in St. Louis. Amy Eiler, also with us, Assistant Professor at Washington University's Brown School of Social Work, also involved with the Girls on the Run program. We have to take a break. We'll do that now. When we come back, we'd love to hear from you. Have you had any experience with Girls on the Run? If you have, we would especially like to hear from you. Or if you have questions of our guests, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on Air. You can also reach us through Facebook. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the Girls on the Run program. It's 10 years old in St. Louis this year, and that is being observed throughout the entire year. Girls on the Run is designed to help develop esteem and empowerment skills in young women grades 3 through 8. My guests in studio are Courtney Berg, Executive Director of Girls on the Run St. Louis, Amy Eiler, Assistant Professor at Washington University's Brown School of Social Work, and joining us by phone from North Carolina is Molly Barker, the founder of Girls on the Run. Amy, as we were just talking off the air, one of the important aspects of this, we talk about self-esteem and empowerment and all the rest of it, but one of today's big problems, and running certainly can help eliminate it or work with it, is childhood obesity. And you are suggesting that this is really an important part of what's going on here.
Absolutely. Not just obesity, just the lack of physical activity. PE programs are being dropped in schools for favor of academic performance standards, and kids just don't have the opportunities they used to be physically active within schools. So this serves as a good outlet for that. That in addition to the increase of sedentary behavior that kids have with screen time and computers and Facebook, and they're just really lacking this physical outlet that they used to have. So Girls on the Run also serves in that capacity.
Molly, is this a sort of a serendipitous aspect of what you started?
Absolutely. You know, it just is very serendipitous. So when I started the Girls on the Run program, there wasn't a great deal of conversation around the topic. So, you know, I have no other comment to make. We are just right here at the crest of something that I think is great for girls and will help them feel better in their skin as well as take care of their bodies.
And Courtney, I know you are a runner, so you and look very fit to me, so I'm sure this is an important aspect to you.
It is. You know, we like to say we all have our Girls on the Run story, and yes, kind of running is sort of interwoven in that, but it truly is. I think when Molly says it's about feeling comfortable in your own skin, that is that power of Girls on the Run. It's about finding that voice and being comfortable with it, and just being comfortable with who you are in every aspect.
Molly, here's the $64 question. Why isn't it Girls and Boys on the Run?
I hear that all the time.
I'll bet you do.
I would say it's even worth more than $64. You know, I will tell you, in the early days, I have a 17-year-old son, and when he was in third grade, we piloted a Boys on the Run and found that it really was irrelevant to boys. So what I mean by that is the program is so gender-specific. It's very geared to the psychology of girls and a lot of the very specific messaging and items that they must confront or deal with as they grow older. So we are certainly keeping our eyes very open for other programs for guys, and I'm really happy to see that more of those are cropping up. So there's a few here in Charlotte, and I'm just beginning to see them all over where schools are adopting something that builds the character of boys. It may not use running, but it definitely uses physical activity.
Amy, are you finding anything in your research along these lines?
Well, research shows that physical activity drops in girls tremendously quicker during this time frame that Girls on the Run addresses, more so than boys. And the differences in their physical activity levels are tremendous. And so addressing that disparity with just Girls on the Run is okay. And there are programs, as Molly mentioned, that are addressing the issues in boys, but it's just so very different.
Yeah. But, Courtney, we do have a lot of obese boys as well in this age group.
We do. I think, though, I like to think of Girls on the Run as sort of that proverbial intersection of where the needs of the world or your community and your skills intersect. We know that there is a tremendous need for this program for girls, and we know that there is a great curriculum and resources available. So we feel like we're really addressing that. And personally, I always like to say this is empowering the boys because I want them to know that this is the girls you should expect to surround yourself with are these strong, confident women. And so it really does transcend that.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have a number of folks who want to get into this discussion. We'll begin it with Eric, calling from St. Louis. Eric, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to share the story of my daughter. My daughter, Alex, started running with Girls on the Run in third grade at St. Louis Charter School. In fifth grade, she was diagnosed with type 1 juvenile diabetes. She was she was diagnosed just before race day, about 5 days before. She was so eager to get out and do that race that Cardinal Glennon released her that morning, and she went to Tower Grove Park. She didn't want to run it because she didn't feel well enough, but she wanted to participate. and she completed the 5K that morning after being released from the hospital. Mm. And it was that important to her. She really loved that. And we later moved away, at least moved out of the school district where they didn't have the program, but she continued to run in the races for a few years and stay connected with them. And as a matter of fact, Jill just last week wrote her a letter of recommendation for another program through the Girl Scouts that she's interested in doing over the summer. So it's been very important to her.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. And Courtney, what a great testimonial for the St. Louis program.
Oh, wow. Eric, thank you so much for sharing that. That's talk about just an awesome girl you've got. Thank you.
And Molly, a great testimonial for the organization overall.
Yeah, there is something very rich about what we do, you know, very, very deep. And I know exactly what your daughter is experiencing. There is a connection there that just pulls me to it day after day.
Let's take another call. He mentioned the Girl Scouts, and Lisa in Baldwin wants to bring that into the conversation. Lisa, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yes. I called because I was a Girl Scout leader for my daughter. She's now in the eighth grade. And when she was in the Girl Scouts, we would receive the flyers. And I know that we would communicate the flyers via the neighborhood meetings to try and increase participation in the Girls on the Girls on the Run program and Girls in the Know. And I was just wondering if you had ever considered working with the girls of in the different areas. For instance, here it's the Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri, to try and coordinate with the Girl Scouts some of these events to increase exposure.
Well, let's start with Molly on the national level, then go to Courtney.
We have in the past talked with Girl Scouts at the national level even, and that was many, many years ago, and I think, to be honest with you, we got very entrenched with our own growth challenges back in the early day. I do know that, so the conversation just sort of went by the wayside. I do know that we have several councils that do some work with Girl Scouts and sharing literature and getting involved with each other. So I'm not sure what's going on in St. Louis. Courtney, any connection there?
Well, very similarly, I know that Girls on the Run St. Louis, in that growth trajectory, sort of had some early conversations. And then, our growth, which is so strong, we just were sort of looking inward and focusing that way. I will share that Girls on the Run St. Louis has just completed a 3-year strategic plan. And part of that, and I'm so glad you're calling, is looking at what are more impactful partnerships and what are ways to engage communities around Girls on the Run. So, I would welcome that conversation. It's sort of very timely for you to bring this up for us. So thank you.
Anything you can add to that, Amy?
We were looking at Girl Scouts as a comparison group when we were going to do some research on the effects of programs on girls. So in that way, looking at both of the organizations and the effects that they have on this age group.
Back to the phones, and Roy will join us. Sir Roy, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I guess you can hear me.
Loud and clear.
Here's my story. So my daughter was not involved with Girls on the Run, but she ran all through her junior high and high school years, and she actually was quite proficient a runner. But what got her, the reason I called is because she got into a private college, and not because she was valedictorian of her class, but I kept telling her, I said, every private college or any college wants a well-rounded individual, not just GPA. And so she got into the private college, but the funny thing is, she went to the state championship 2-mile tournament in Jeff City, and she missed her valedictorian send-off to compete in the state, and she came in third place in the 2-mile run. But I have to attribute not only her scholastic ability, but also her prowess as a runner to make her a well-rounded individual. And lastly, she ran track in college also, and I told her that she could not have found a better sorority to join, namely her track team at the college, because they were all, also pretty well-rounded individuals. So just wanted to give my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Amy, is there any solid research indicating that this kind of activity does help young people academically?
The new research is showing that fitness levels, there's evidence that shows that it helps with academic performance, attention to task, but the research is still developing and growing. But I think the message is becoming clear that these are really important things to consider when looking at academic performance or school success.
Molly, any thoughts on that?
Oh, I love your comments about it was the best sorority she could have, you know, joined. I feel that way a lot about Girls on the Run. We're incredibly welcoming of all girls, shapes, sizes, backgrounds, and so what bonds us to each other is the running and just the girl thing. And you know, I've heard stories that as we've grown that just blow my mind of, you know, a girl who was in Girls on the Run in third grade is now in Washington, D.C., and is now working with another girl from another city. You know, it's just, I can't wait to see what will manifest in, you know, 10, 15 years when we have millions of girls out there in the workplace.
Oh, I can't agree more, Molly. For St. Louis, it's so exciting to think that these are the girls that are going to be leading our community. They're already out there doing fabulous things in their college and beyond, but that is just so exciting when I think about, you know, what this means for us as a community. Yes, we're empowering these third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade girls, but to think that they are now going to come back to St. Louis and make really great decisions that'll affect all of us, I can't think of anything more that makes me excited about our future than that.
How does it help an eighth grade girl? Now, I'm asking this because I think we all know that eighth grade for young girls sometimes can be a very, very difficult time. I had a teacher once tell me, an eighth grade teacher, that an eighth grade girl is the worst creature on the planet Earth.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm saying that because they tend to be cliquish. They can turn very quickly on their friends, and that this seems to be something that most people agree with. Will you agree with that?
I will agree that developmentally there's a lot of social things that happen in that middle school age.
That's what we're
age.
Talking about.
Right. So I will agree with that. I don't know if I call eighth graders, you know, the worst creature. I can share that coming as a former high school teacher, and I taught ninth graders for a number of years, and thinking of what sort of struggles they brought into the classroom in ninth grade, I think that a program like Girls on the Run or the Girls on Track curriculum is exactly addressing what you're getting at, Don, which is, you know, how can you really focus in on that individual girl, make sure that she feels confident, secure in who she is, knows how to relate in positive pro-social peer groups, how to stand up for herself in a group. All of those things kind of address exactly that sort of tricky area that you're talking about.
But Molly, you have to approach the third grade girl differently than the fifth grade girl, the seventh grade or eighth grade girl, don't you?
Certainly. So that's why we have these two separate curriculum, one for the younger girls and one for the older girls. You know, and I have a ninth grader myself, and I do think that what Girls on the Run does so beautifully is shine a light on all the positive qualities that girls do have and make those almost cool or fun, and girls get to experience how awesome it is to be connected to your peers and supportive of your peers. We're creating almost an alternative universe, you know, in a way for these girls that gives them an alternative to what they may see in the media or even at their own schools with the gossip and the bullying. And I really do believe once a girl or a woman even or a person has put sort of that kind of connection that is positive, as Courtney was suggesting, it's very hard to regress to the other, digress, you know, go backwards.
I agree. And the other wonderful component of Girls on the Run is our coaches. So these are adults, primarily women, but men as well, who, you know, are trained in the curriculum and implement it. And I can't say enough about the coaches in St. Louis. They are just phenomenal, committed, amazing people that make this program come to life. The other thing that they're providing these girls is just modeling of pro-social, positive adult female interaction, which I think is just sad to say we don't see a lot of that. And so to really model that and to make that not only an option, but a really great choice for the girls, I can't say enough about that.
Amy, you're providing some of these coaches, as you indicated earlier on, correct?
Coaches, to some extent, but more research assistance.
It's more in the in
programmatic
the area,
assistance.
Yeah. How are these people selected? I mean, if there is a coach involved through Brown, the Brown School, is there a particular criteria?
Volunteers. Courtney is an alum, and so we have a good connection and a lot of girls interested in the empowerment issues and the confidence issues that that are addressed with the program. And then also with the public health aspect, we have a lot of physical activity interest with the students.
But we've just lost a call or two here. I want to tell folks we have a few minutes left if you want to get back on the line, 382-8255. We have time for a couple more calls. Courtney, back to you with regard to how young people – parents, whomever, can get involved locally. What do they have to do?
We welcome it. So we really are a volunteer-driven organization. Right now, I think one of the best ways to get involved is to participate in our 5K. This spring, our 5K will be Saturday, May 11th, downtown St. Louis. We welcome volunteers to that, and it is such a wonderful celebration. It is part of the curriculum. It is that culminating goal for the girls. And to see that and be part of it gives you such a snapshot on the program. So we welcome that. Anyone is welcome to go to our website to sign up, which is girlsontherunstlouis.org. Also, if anyone's interested in coaching, we can train coaches at the end of the summer to be placed at sites in the fall, and that's also available on our website. And another great way to be involved is if you don't have time to coach or volunteer, but you're a runner and you want to give back, we have a charity running program, Soulmates. So if you're running a race and you want to do that on behalf of Girls on the Run, it's a great way to get plugged in and be part of it.
We'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. That'll be on a little bit later in the day. Molly, can you point to any particular success story? I know you've dealt with thousands of young women over the years, but is there anything that stands out in your mind as to being so illustrative of what you're doing and the success you've had?
Yes. I mean, I will point to the story we got at the very beginning of the young girl that just had to do the 5K. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I was I shared with the coaches last night there in St. Louis a story, but there is one in particular. Okay, with a young girl that came into the program who had been put in to foster care only recently and had something called selective mutism, which means she could talk but it opted out for just reasons that were related to, you know, her current state of not knowing she was in a new home. And over the course of the 12 weeks, just began to see this girl blossom. And by the end of the program, on the very last day, this little girl shared with her team and a number of other people her voice. And it had not been heard in months and months and months. And I just think that that really is a testimony to the power of the program and the safety that the program provides for girls to feel safe enough to express themselves, particularly when that hasn't necessarily been their experience in their, you know, in their life.
Yeah. How about you, Courtney? A quick success story?
I that's just tremendous. I think we have some coaches that have shared similar stories. I like to think about we have a team that they had a girl who experienced just a terrible, terrible tragedy in her family. And, you know, what that team was able to do to really circle around her and exactly what Molly's describing, that safe space, to create that safe space in Girls on the Run where she could have a consistent place where she could go. She knew that her voice was literally and figuratively heard and that she had a new family around her. And that goes beyond those 10 weeks. And I think, you know, again, that speaks to what we were saying at the beginning of the program, which is it is so much more than a running program.
Yeah. We have time, I think, for one more call. We'll bring in Amy calling from O'Fallon, Illinois. Amy, thanks for being with us, but it has to be quick.
Yes. I just wanted to say my daughter is newly participating in this program, and I love when I go to pick her up and watch the end of their practice, the joy that comes from her, her friends, the teachers and staff that are running this program. It is just, it brings a tear to my eye. Truly, every time I see them, it is beautiful. And I cannot wait to watch her run the 5K and run it with her. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, good, Amy. Thank you so much for calling. I'm so glad your daughter's part of the program.
We had Claire called, couldn't stay before. She made her girls join the girls on the run, and her daughter wound up loving it. So that's another testimony. Molly, as time gets away from us here, just a little less than a minute left. Is there a final thought you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, I will. I just want to make sure that all the fabulous volunteers and coaches and people that touch this program in St. Louis know how valued they are. And I've said it so many times that while the curriculum is great, it would simply be on a shelf if it were not for the people that brought it to life. So I just applaud you and am incredibly grateful for all those people.
Final thought from you, Amy, very quickly.
Just that it's a great program, and we'll prove how great it is with some research.
And Courtney, a few seconds.
Just the thank you to St. Louis for embracing Girls on the Run for 10 years. We're so, so glad to be part of St. Louis.
And St. Louis, I'm sure, is glad that you're a part of St. Louis as well. Molly Barker, thank you so much for being with us. Courtney Berg, thank you. And Amy Eiler, thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, Margaret Thatcher in Missouri and her 1996 visit to Westminster College. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.